Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame right here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hope everybody's had a couple of good days without me, but I am back. We are on the air. Going to have Clint Davis calling in here just a little bit, my partner in crime, so make sure you get ready for him. Get your thoughts, get your questions ready. Also, if you have any shout-outs out there, make sure you get them in. 347-326-9073 is our phone number right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Arizona is rocking. I mean, this place, Marty Tail and the folks with the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, this place looks like something out of a James Bond movie. I mean, that's how awesome this facility is. So, you know, I'm excited to be here, and it's just been a great, great time. Yesterday, went through some defensive tactics course, so that was a blast, and so today, it kind of really got everything started. O.J. Guerra gave a fantastic course this morning on nice tactics and everything. So, I mean, we're just rocking and rolling. And, you know, all of this stuff is leading up till Saturday when we have the Black Tie Banquet and Ball. And so we're just having a whole lot of fun. Speaking of which, I think we got Clint right here with me. What's going on, big dog?
Nothing, man. Nothing's going on. Just wondering how it's going out there in Phoenix.
Oh, man, it is rocking. I mean, we are having a blast. You know, we left out of Fayetteville 8 a.m. Tuesday morning, got into Phoenix about 2 o'clock Wednesday morning. And so and then we've just been partying like rock stars ever since then, man. I wish you were here.
Well, you know, speaking of rock stars and partying like rock stars, I got two shout-outs. I got Kim and Katie, who are listening to the show live. They've been listening for the last few days here. And so hopefully we can hook them and keep them as fans for the Greg Squirrel Show. So Kim and Katie, shout-outs to you two. Hopefully the show's going to go as planned today, so everything will be all right.
Well, there you go. I mean, like I say, I want to say a big thank you to Clint. He's had the show the last 2 days, so don't know what I'd do without him. Probably not have a show on the air those 2 days, but since we have brought Clint on board, I just want to say a big shout-out and a big thank you to the one and only Clint Davis for having the Greg Squirrel Show on the air while we're doing what we got to do here. Nate Quarry, UFC star Nate Quarry, former UFC star Nate Quarry. He's going to be here. He's going to be giving an MMA course. I don't have the schedule here in front of me when that's going to be, but he's already in town. He's got his booth set up. He's got all his merchandise, Zombie Fighters. And so Nate Quarry's in the house, and we've already had some fantastic courses this morning. As I mentioned, O.J. Guerra, a fantastic, nice defense course. Had a blast sitting in with them. Then we got Rand Nakash, one of the top Krav Maga instructors with the Israeli Defense Forces, which is, you know, the Israeli military. You know, all their branches have to go through the Israeli Defense Force for their training. And Rand Nakash, who is one of their top trainers, He's in town. He flew all the way in from Israel to be here at the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, teaching the defensive tactics course, Krav Maga. And, I mean, we haven't registered since we've been here, buddy.
That's your bread and butter right there, Krav Maga. That's your stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I study. I study the Krav Maga. And so, like I say, we started 8 o'clock, not correction, 9 o'clock yesterday morning. We took about an hour and a half break for lunch, and then we went until 7 o'clock last night training.
Wow.
Krav Maga training with Rand Nakash and his people that he brought back in. As far as headlines, you know, we're going to do everything same as we always do. This just came over my headline. NCAA has severed ties with EA Sports.
You know, that's something I covered yesterday, and that's one of the things that they're trying to – I don't know how they're wanting to work that out. They're trying to get to this point where, you know, they can still use – college colors and make people think, okay, this is the team that you like. They can use the name, but they can't use logos and mascots and stuff like that. And they're supposed to be talking about coming out with a game called College Football 14 or something next year. So I'm personally not going to play anything like that. It's not going to be the same without EA Sports, just like the pro football games wouldn't be the same without Madden. So I'm not even going to try it.
Exactly. You know, and I don't really know what they're thinking with that. So be anxious to see. You know, it may be one of those things where they disappear for a year, but people are going to complain and gripe so much that they may actually bring it back. So,
well, you know why it's going down, right? You know what the deal is behind it.
No, well, I have not heard.
The whole problem here is, you know, these college football players, they have signed waivers. They've given – you know, EA Sports and NCAA, these football games, they've given them the rights to use their likenesses and names and things like that for free, which they're supposed to because they're in college. Well, now these Yahoos are in the pros, and they're wanting to sue for billions of dollars, saying that they owe them money for using their likeness and their names. It's ridiculous.
And maybe I'm thinking wrong. I don't see how they can do that because – I have no clue. I just don't see how they can possibly.
They can't. It's illegal. And what I'm hoping is we get a judge in this case who has two kids at home who play Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 and says, you know what, my kids are a little bit miffed about this going on. They have no idea about likenesses and images and names and all this other stuff. All they know is they want their college football game back. And so I hope he tosses it because of that kind of stuff. There's millions and millions and millions of people waiting on these games to come out every single year. And now we got people griping because we have images and names that we're using without paying people billions of dollars. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's crazy. Man, I did get an awesome email yesterday.
Is this about
me?
Okay.
What can I say? Okay. Jai King, Muay Thai Kickboxing.
Yeah.
I got an email from them yesterday that they have added another event to their schedule.
What? Is this what I think it is?
Yes.
Oh. Go ahead. Keep going.
Are we ready? Kansas
ready.
City, Missouri. Jai King, Muay Thai, and Kickboxing is coming to town.
Muay Thai.
That's right. They sent me the email last night that says, Mr. G, it has been confirmed that Jai King, Muay Thai, Kickboxing is going to invade Kansas City, Missouri. Give me a chance here, and I'll pull up the email so I can expand on the date, October 5th. Jai King, Muay Thai, and Kickboxing coming to Kansas City, Missouri.
Wow. Is this the tournament? No. I've got an update here. This is something I thought this came to me in a dream. I had a crazy dream a couple of nights ago that I was training with Aaron Cobb, and everywhere we drove, he would park his car 2 miles away, and we would have to run back and forth. And I've been having these crazy MMA dreams. Striking Muay Thai tournament coming to Muskogee. Muay Thai tournament. Striking will be holding a national Muay Thai tournament on November 1st through the 3rd in Muskogee, Oklahoma. The tournament will be
open
to fighters of all skill levels from novice through Class A. More information, brackets, and online registration coming soon. Save the date on your calendar if you want to compete. Man, forget that. I'm not competing in this. I want to go. November 1st through the 3rd, this is 3 full days of Muay Thai.
Awesome. I mean, that is going to be fun to watch. And you know, we've told the fans before that if they have not had a chance to be part of a Muay Thai event, that this is definitely something that they need to go check out, because it's nothing like the regular MMA that people go watch.
There's so much more to this. There's a heritage involved. We've talked about it 100 times. There's customs and courtesies that you don't see with MMA. Not that MMA lacks discipline or anything. This is just a whole different realm of a sporting event. I got to find a date for this. I need to take somebody. We need to just make 3 days out of this and watch 3 days of Muay Thai in Muskogee, Oklahoma. This is going to be awesome.
Right. Yeah, it is going to be awesome, and hopefully things will work out where I can be there too. We'll just have to see how the scheduling goddesses tend to look down upon me. Other sports news. Jerry Sandusky, the Penn State pervert, his settlements have reached over $60 million so far.
Wow.
Yeah, I was looking at that this morning, all the settlements and stuff. Penn State University has reached tentative settlements totaling $60 million so far with men who have claimed to be sexually abused by former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. This was announced by Ted Brown, who is a trustee who's kind of overseeing some of this stuff. But so far, 25 of 31 outstanding claims covered by the $60 million in settlements of the trustees approved. So, you know, they still got more. So I definitely see this amount going higher because of Jerry Sandusky, the Penn State pervert.
Man, this is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, what kind of headlines you got for me, boss?
Man, I got a couple. I got injury updates. I've got professional wrestling news. We can now confirm, this is coming from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, that The Undertaker will not appear at SummerSlam this year due to shoulder injury. As of now, it seems like his usual pre-WrestleMania return is unlikely. With Taker officially out of SummerSlam, Kane is expected to face Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
And go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're up on this, so go ahead.
Well, there's a couple more things. If I can pause this stupid Chili's commercial that's playing in my ear. I don't know why this thing keeps popping up. WWE is still hoping that Stone Cold Steve Austin will get medical clearance for a match at WrestleMania 30. Now, there's a lot of people wanting to see Vince McMahon and Triple H go head-to-head to see who gets control of the WWE. But what they're talking about is they're not going to have a 70-something-year-old Vince McMahon get in the ring, so they're going to find somebody to fight for him. So here's the speculation. If he's cleared and interested, an idea has already been pitched. The idea is that Stone Cold would face Triple H at the pay-per-view for control of the WWE. Steve Austin would represent Vince McMahon during the match. This has only been talked about right now, and absolutely nothing has been confirmed. Of course, plans can easily change, as it's very well known that Austin wants to face CM Punk in his return match. CM Punk wants to face Austin as well, so there would be a lot of negotiating beforehand. So, you know, that would be something interesting to see. I know this could go back to the days of, like, Flair and Vince, when they, you know, were general managers or whatever, they owned one of them owned SmackDown and Vince did, and then Flair owned Raw, and then they went head to head at WrestleMania, and you know this could get big like it used to be if they play their cards right. So, you know, it's all going to be about what's going down in creative. And I got a message this morning that a former member of DX has joined the WWE creative team. It says, "Oh, you didn't know." The former DX member, Road Dogg, Brian James, BG James in TNA, is now on the WWE creative team. He had been working backstage in an agent-producer role. He's been attending meetings over the last few weeks because the company's been looking to add someone new to the writing team. This is also due to the fact that Michael P.S. Hayes has not been there as of late. And if you're not down with that, we've got two words for you. So, you know, I'm hoping that this goes down like it should because, I mean, here's a guy on the creative team who was in the Attitude Era, one of the major players of the Attitude Era. So, I mean, this could be swaying in the right direction. And I've got some sports history here for you. Today, July 18th in 1927, Ty Cobb set a Major League Baseball record by getting his 4,000th career hit. He ended up hitting 4,191 before he retired in 1928, and on this day in 1964, Pete Rose of the Cincinnati Reds hit the only Grand Slam home run of his career. 1964, my God, what's it? It's almost been 50 years since that went down. And in 1970, here's my hero. This used to happen to me in high school all the time. I was the captain of this stat here. In 1970, Ron Hunt of the San Francisco Giants was hit by a pitch for the 119th time in his career. So, you know, I was a big trash talking lefty, you know, and I would get up there against a left or a right handed pitcher. It didn't matter to me, and I would crowd the plate, and I would talk trash, and I'd call my shot and things like that. And I used to get hit all the time, but that was it for me. That was a free base, man. I used to steal bases like they were going out of style, and whatever I could do to get on base, I didn't care. I'd take a shot to the head. I'd take a shot to the right to the backside, so it didn't matter to me. But yeah, Ron Hunt, one of my baseball heroes, got hit by a pitch all the time, and so that's a great stat to go down in the history books there.
Yeah, I was reading a little something. I did not click on the story to get the details, but apparently Mr. Flair is in trouble with the law.
Mr. Flair, yes, they put out a warrant for his arrest because he has not paid over $36,000 in spousal support payments to his ex-wife. And so that's what that's all about. There's the new mugshot out for his one of his ex-wives who threatened his new girlfriend, and she was arrested. So, yeah, it's a big family affair down there with the Flairs. It's getting better every day.
Got some NFL news right here. It looks like Ricky, I like to smoke weed, Williams is going to be making his return to the NFL.
Get out of town. No, there's no way this is going to happen.
I'm looking at it right. Well, hold on. Let me correct that. Not returning as a player, but as a coach.
Oh, boy. What's he going to coach? The 420 practice session?
I guess.
Get rid of
that. Oh, my God. Hold on. Let me look this over with this. Let me look at this. Since Ricky Williams has entered the NFL, he's always done things a little bit different than everybody else. It has now been reported that Ricky Williams is getting back into the world of football by coaching staff of the University of the Incarnate Word.
I don't know what the hell you just said, Greg.
You don't? Did you not hear me well? Or
No, I got you loud and clear, buddy. I just don't know what you just said.
The University of Incarnate Word.
Right.
Apparently, I'm out.
Is this some Harry Potter stuff?
I have no
idea. Harry Potter and the Incarnate Word.
I will have to look into this. We'll report on that one later.
We're going to have to pitch the idea to a movie studio, Harry Potter and the Incarnate Word.
Yeah, I think Ricky's been smoking too much weed again.
I think he's putting something in it. I don't know, maybe Keith Richards' dad's ashes or something. I don't know what he's doing, but there's something. There's something he's maybe snorting or smoking something that's got him
a little bit.
Hey, have you seen Tiger Woods? He's in a pretty good spot now here. He shot a 2-under 69 in round one. He went to the back nine, and he's now three shots behind leader Zach Johnson. So he's got something good going here. I don't know if he could pull this out. I mean, usually the typical Tiger that we see, typical Tiger, is he'll get right up there toward the top, and then he will just bomb out. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, hey, you never know about Tiger. He's either all the way there or else. I mean, you just never know. Just be anxious to see, because Murfield, pretty tough little course. So they're going to do what they can on day one to kind of get a feel of the place under championship.
Yeah.
Tournament conditions, and then, you know, Friday and Saturday. Friday, they'll make the cut. So then Saturday, they refer to Saturday as moving day, because that's when the guys that are pretty much going to win that thing, that's when they move up. And so then after that, you got the final round on Sunday. Now, I understand we're supposed to have some guests calling in. Is that correct, Dave?
Yeah, that is correct. And I, before I get into that, I'd like to add that I just got a text message from a very nice lady who has taken up my offer on being a date to the Muay Thai tournament in Muskogee for Strike King. And now back to news.
We
see, it's that quick.
You cut out feelers and you got women. What is up with you?
I don't know. I mean, that's just – I tell it's like a cross between George Clooney and Charlie Sheen, only I'm not on drugs and I don't pay for the women, so – that's kind of just how it is. I know. Yeah, no, we've got a gentleman named Sean Bales that's calling in. He should be calling in. I know he put a link up to the show here just a couple of minutes ago. Sean Bales, this is a
Mr. Squirrel, Mike from Pennsylvania, long time listener, first time caller.
Uh oh.
Yeah, who we got here?
Mike from Pennsylvania, Mr. Squirrel.
Okay.
Tiger Woods, I heard you talking about Tiger Woods. I think this is a crucial tournament for him. He's put his whole life into this catching Jack Nicklaus majors record. Every tournament, every major that goes by, it's just more and more pressure on him, one less that he's going to have a chance to get to the final tally that he wants to beat Nicklaus. First of all, first question for you. Do you think he wins this one or the other major this year? And second question, do you think he ever catches Nicklaus, or do you just think he has too much baggage, too much of a past now, where he's never going to get there?
Question one, I do. If Tiger plays his game, I do think he can win this weekend, the British Open. And I do think it may take him a little longer than he wants, but I do think Tiger catches Nicklaus.
Okay, and how about as far as career majors catching Nicklaus?
Well, like I say, I'm going to be the smart man and not put a time frame on it. But, you know, I do think he catches. Now, as far as the final number, As far as majors, I wouldn't even dare begin to speculate, because Tiger has showed in the past that when his game is on, he can beat pretty much anybody out there. So, I think Tiger Woods does eventually catch Nicklaus. It may not be in the time frame he wants, but I do think that Tiger Woods eventually eclipses Jack Nicklaus's majors record.
And my last question, sir, if he didn't have this whole fiasco the last few years, you know, with his wife and everything, do you think he'd already be at the record right now? I believe it's been
Oh, definitely. I think this fiasco with him cheating on his wife and doing whatever, I think this has taken a bigger mental effect on Tiger more than people know. I mean, yes, he has had the injury issues, but I think, yeah, I mean, because I, you know, I play golf myself, and I know what if your brain is not completely there, you know, you can lose focus at any time. So I'm sure that the situation with the marriage and everything, that took a lot more out of Tiger than people give credit for.
Okay, thank you for the time, Mr. Squirrel.
Hey, not a problem, man. I appreciate you calling in. All right, there we go. Everybody talk about Tiger Woods, British Open. We got a 918 phone number. Who do we got calling in the Greg Squirrel Show today?
Sean Bales.
Sean Bales. Mr. Sean Bales from Wolfpack MMA. I was fixing to start talking about Sean, and I don't know what happened with that caller there, but somebody just smooth cut me off. But Sean Bales is, like I said, with Wolfpack MMA. He's I'm looking at the card here for Show Fight this weekend, Summer Smash, fighting for the Show Fight Super Heavyweight Championship against Josh Ferries. Sean, you're 5'9", 275-pound fighter. You're 35 years old. What are you doing going into this event? I mean, I know you guys have had a lot of stuff going on. You had a radio appearance last night. Is anybody who's having to cut weight for this? Are you right about where you need to be?
Not honestly. I'm actually kind of putting on weight for this fight.
What have you been doing to put the weight on?
Eating more.
Well, you know, I've heard, we heard a little bit last night, but, you know, I've heard that, these new pretzel dogs at Sonic, I don't know if you've had one of these yet, but if pretzels are your thing, like I can't go to a professional baseball game or something without getting a pretzel, but these pretzel dogs are off the chain. So I don't know if that's something you can use to your advantage, but these are pretty awesome. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about last night, man, you had a radio appearance. I think you did great for the circumstances that were in front of you. I wasn't too pleased with the radio show itself. I did sit and listen to the whole thing, but I was pretty disappointed. So it kind of motivated me a little further, and I know you and I had talked after your appearance on there, and we wanted to make sure we gave you a chance to get the bad taste out of your mouth. So tell me about last night. Tell me about this radio show. Tell me about your expectations going into that, and then what happened once you got on.
Well, quite honestly, you know, that was a first-time deal for me. I've never done anything like that before, and yeah, it was quite interesting from these guys.
Yeah, to say the least. It was something that I was a little bit disappointed in, and not on your behalf. I mean, you did great, like I said, for the circumstances given, and I was proud of you for doing what you did. At that point I didn't know that you were going to be on that show, and I had already shot you an email and asked, because I'd done a little bit of research on you. I was looking you up, and I knew this was going to be a super heavyweight championship match, like I've talked about, and I've talked about this the last few days on the show. Tell me how big Show Fight is up in the Branson area. I don't know much about Show Fight. You may be more familiar with that area than I am, but tell us a little bit about Show Fight and how big this fight's going to be for you.
Well, Show Fight, it's been an upcoming deal. It's, you know, I've seen reviews and seen critics' writings about it, but yeah, show it's grown into a real big deal. I mean, it's national, you know, not national pay-per-view, but they have a pay-per-view status where you can get online at GFL and get it and get the main card, you know. And I've seen some UFC fighters that are credited, you know, that it's a big deal. It's like the next step up.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have gone – who have fought with Show Fight, and then like you said, their next step is going to the big time. So now what you're doing on Saturday, July 20th, tickets, I want to remind everybody, tickets start at $25 for general admission, $40 for VIP cage side, and that's going to be at the outdoor event at the Outback Complex in Branson, Missouri, in case anybody's up there. I personally have quite a few friends that are headed to Branson this weekend. I don't know what their plans are, but I'm trying to sway them to go. All ages are welcome to this fight. Now, I personally, you know, a lot of people are fans of the lower weight classes. Now, Clint Davis, personally, I'm a super heavyweight fan. I'm a heavyweight fan. I like to see the big boys get in there, and I like to see them duke it out. I used to weigh 280 pounds, and I've cut down to 200 since then. But I like to see the bigger dudes get in there and throw these blows that are just devastating. So you're going up against Josh Ferries. He's with Dark Horse. He's got a little bit of an advantage height-wise. He's 6'2", 266 pounds, and he's about 11 years younger than you. Tell me what you know about Josh Ferries.
Honestly, very little. It's just, you know, it was kind of like a last-minute deal between both of us. I've done, you know, some of his videos, you know, via YouTube, talked to some people at Spot with him. You know, he's has an all-around game. You know, so he has some ground and pound. He has some stand-up. He's just kind of like me. He's just an all-out brawler.
Now, with him being, you know, having the height advantage, is there a strategy here? I mean, do you want to get him to the ground, or is your the best part of your game standing up?
Honestly, well, as far as in all the fights I've had so far, I've never really gone to the ground except for one, and I was in the dominating position for the most part of that fight. And I'm usually just standing and banging. You know, it's not really a disadvantage for me. It's what I'm used to. All the guys that I have fought has been taller than me. I think I'm like the shortest one in the division.
Well, you know, that could be an advantage too. What is your record right now?
Standing is right now 4-3.
4-3. How many of those four wins came by knockout?
Let's see, three of them.
Wow. So the other one, would it go to decision, I guess?
It was actually a verbal decision after the first round. He verbally submitted, and it was over with after that.
Done deal, man. So three of your four wins have come by knockout. I mean, that's pretty impressive, and you talking about standing up. And, I know there's a lot of people who are excited to see this. Talked to JT a little bit about, this fight going down. Of course, we listened to the show last night. I'm not going to get into that whole thing. It was as bad as it was. But you know, there's a lot of information out there. This main card is stacked. There's a lot of stuff going down. And the owner of this show, my partner in crime, Greg Squirrel, he's going into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. He's on the line too,
yes.
So I'm gonna turn it over to Greg Squirrel. Greg, you're talking to Sean Bells from Wolfpack MMA, fighting for Show Fight at Summer Smash this weekend for the Super Heavyweight Championship. What do you got for him?
Well, Sean, you know, basically, one of the standard questions I ask everybody, you know, kind of get the folks a background on yourself. How long you've been in the game? How long you've been fighting? You know, who's been some of your favorite opponents? And when you're fighting a guy like this, what's some of the techniques and pro stuff you go through to get ready leading up to this fight?
Well, as far as the game, I've been in it. My first fight was back in September 2011. Actually, I got into it, you know, kind of by accident. In March of 2011, a friend of mine, you know, was one of those ones that sat at home, watched, you know, a little, see, yeah, hey, I could do this, you know, and just basically got himself into a fight, asked me in the corner for him, and he learned real quick, you just can't walk off the couch and do it.
That is true.
I was walking out there, that'd be his corner from the back to the cage, and the sensation that had come over me was just unreal. You know, something I haven't felt in years, back when I competed in high school and stuff. And I got a hold of the promoter for that venue shortly, about a month of that, you know, talked to him. And at that time, I was weighing over 300 pounds easily. And the guy I would have had to fight, and the guy I would have had to fight back then, Super Heavy Division, he was like 6'5", 400 pounds. So I dropped down to the heavyweight division. and been competing there. This would be my only second Super Heavyweight fight. I normally fight in the heavyweight division.
Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned the fact that you've actually had to put on weight for this upcoming fight. Now, I'm sure that takes a little bit of the stress off you because, you know, I know the stress some of the fighters go through when they're trying to cut weight to make weight, cutting weight, but now you're having to gain weight, so is there any kind of pressure there to get the weight up to where you do make the weight limit?
There's a little bit. I mean, because you got to, you know, like you said, you're going to cutting weight, you know, trying to drop weight, because I normally walk around 250 is what I normally walk around at. So I'm putting, you know, 15, 16 pounds just to make the weight limit. You know, you got to, of course, eat more, but yet at the same time, you got to make sure you're eating smart to put the weight on, that you're not putting on a bunch of fatty fatty fat, you know, which will bog you down and slow you down and make you move a lot slower.
Yeah. Let's give out the phone numbers real quick. 347-326-9073. You got Craig Squirrel. You got Sean Bowles right here on the Greg Squirrel Show, coming to you live, Phoenix, Arizona, from the United States Martial Arts Association Hall of Fame week. I mean, we got some great classes that's been going on. Rand Nakash, all the way from Israel, has the Krav Maga classes, defensive tactics course coming up. Got Sean Bowles on the line. He's going to be fighting up here at Show Fight up in Branson, Missouri. How does it feel? I mean, when you get a call from a promotion, from a promoter, the caliber of a JT Tilly, how does it feel when you get a call from him saying, hey, man, we want you to come fight on our show?
Well, actually, it's kind of the other way around. Who I normally fight for is Cage of Honor. That's who I got my start with, and I actually hold one of Cage of Honor's titles for the Superweight division, which I won that back in February. And they've kind of took the summer off, you know, hiatus, and then shortly when I found that out, I actually approached JT. I've heard about him for a while. I had a couple friends that fought for him, and I guess he's been kind of watching me, monitoring me like that, and now he hooked me up with my first show with Tim, June last month, for Ball Inc. And it was actually for a title on that venue as well. And the guy that I fought there actually handed me my first loss in over a month.
Wow.
In over a year. Yeah, I was on a 4-win streak till last month.
Nice.
So, you know, I knew stepping up to, you know, Show Fight and these guys up here, I knew it was a different caliber, you know, a lot more intense competition, and that's what I needed to be at to see exactly where I'm at in this game.
So, you know, that's going to be my next question is, you know, a lot of fighters say, you know, well, I prefer to fight it this way, but I can fight it this way if I need to, or I can go down to this weight if I need to. What is your more comfortable weight to actually fight at?
You know, it's really kind of hard to say, because I'm having, you know, fairly good success at both weight classes at this point. But, you know, the lighter I am, the more comfortable I feel, really. I feel, you know, I don't feel as sluggish and move as slow as
right.
I feel. Because even in high school when I wrestled in the heavyweight division, you know, I was always the smallest guy. So it's always been kind of to my advantage because I never moved like a heavyweight. I always wrestled like I was a lightweight and stuff.
Right. Well, all right. Well, Clint, you got any more questions for Sean?
Sean, man, I think you're a stand-up guy, and even as far away as we are from each other, you know, I'm a fan. Tell everybody where Wolfpack's based out of. Where are you based out of?
We're based out of Grove, Oklahoma.
Grove,
hometown.
Oklahoma. So you're just up north of me here. I'm on the eastern side, down south a little bit, in a town called Roland. I'm right across the river from Fort Smith. I know you know where Fort Smith is, and
yeah, you're down
there
by Gore.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're right down I-40 from Gore. So yeah, you know, one of these days, man, I'm hoping we can be in a position where we can catch you in the cage, and you know, I just appreciate you being on the show, everybody. Sean Bales, fighting the Show Fight this Saturday, July 20th, in Branson, Missouri, for the Show Fight Super Heavyweight Championship. Sean, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. Really, I really do. I have a lot of respect for you, and I'm glad you could make it with us today.
Not a problem. It's been an honor to have you for you guys to have me on here.
You got any shout-outs for anybody before you go?
Yeah, I just, you know, got to thank my family, who's been a great support. My Trish Brothers Graphics and Thunder Lake Motorcycles, you know, they're my sponsors. They help me get where I need to be.
Good.
Well,
man.
All right. Well, Sean.
It's been an honor, buddy. No, I'm just saying it's been an honor to have you on, and I'm – you know, we're pulling for you this weekend, and I'm hoping everything turns out like you want it to.
Yeah, it'd be nice to bring home that second title.
That's right.
That's for sure. So,
Well, there you go, Five Fans. Once again, this is Sean. Sean Mills, he's going to be fighting at Show Fight Branson, Missouri. So, Sean, good luck, man. And we definitely want to have you back on the show after the event so we can talk about what went down and, you know, just keep drumming up some support for you.
All right, man. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, buddy.
All right.
We'll talk to you later, Sean.
All right. Bye.
Man, what a guy. What a guy. I've looked at a lot of his stuff, and you know, I've heard a lot of things about him. And really the story about how I kind of got on his trail on Facebook was I heard a lot of people talking about, or I saw a lot of people talking about him and saw his name pop up several times. And then when I found out he was in that super heavyweight division, which piques my interest, I thought, man, I need to find out a little bit more about this guy. I want to talk to him and get to know him. Man, you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of XFI's heavyweight champion, Chris Brookfield. Just a humble dude, a stand-up dude, somebody that's nice to everybody. He does this because he loves it, loves his family, loves his supporters. And, you know, that's who he reminded me of, honestly. Felt like I was talking to Chris Brookfield the entire time. And that's a compliment, Sean Bales, if you're still listening or you happen to hit a playback later. That's a gigantic compliment because Chris Brookfield's one of the nicest guys we got in the business, too. So, you know, Sean Bales, like I said, I mean, I'm a fan now. So he's kind of won me over here, one of the super heavyweights. And you know, yeah, I'm hoping he can come home with that title this weekend. I'm going to be watching it personally.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be a good card. You know, you got guys like Sean Brooks, or you got Sean Bowles going to be fighting up there. And then you got the girls. You got Megan Goodwin going to be fighting up there. You had her on the show the last couple of days, and I wasn't able to catch it. Kind of fill me in on what her train of thought is as that event gets closer.
Well, she's not heading to Branson until tomorrow. When I caught her the other day, it was I believe it was Tuesday, and you know, I had talked about headlines and everything going on in the news, and then I surprised her. I called her. She was at work. She was kind of thankful that I did call because she was a little bit bored, and so we talked a little bit about you know, what she's doing right now, and she's still in the weight cut process. And you know, I think she's at a good, comfortable spot. She's still got a little bit to go, but it's nothing. I mean, anybody who knows Megan Goodwin knows that she can handle this. I mean, it's nothing that she is too far out of reach in the next few days. And, you know, so I think by the time she gets up there for the weigh-ins on Friday night, I think she's going to be at a great spot. I know she'll hit weight. She always does. She's not going to let this slip out of her reach. You know, but so many people have backed out on Megan that she has really felt the effects of that. She talked last night on the Less Than Desirable show that we won't mention here, that she's had five opponents back out on her. And I think it's really starting to weigh down. You know, and she takes it with class. She takes it in stride, and she's going to make this happen one way or another. And so, you know, this Courtney Stowe that she's fighting for this women's I think the women's featherweight championship. I don't want to quote myself wrong here, but you know, I think she's ready. She's more than ready for this. And this Courtney Stowe she's got a little ring rust, man. I mean, you know, she had that title like we've talked about. She gave it up like no champion would ever do. No smart champion. She gave up the title, and then now she's like, oh, I'm back. I want my title back. I mean, it's like you know, it reminds me of two kids playing with toys. One of them puts a toy down and goes to the bathroom and comes back, and somebody else is playing with the toy, and now they want their toy back. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that.
No.
If you don't want to lose something, you don't give it up. You just don't give it up. That's like, well, I'm not going to get into that either, but you know what I'm saying. People know what I'm talking about. Well, it'd be like, you know, and I know this, I mean, look, these fighters, I've heard some say, their championships are like their babies. They're like their babies. You know, and being a father, I mean, look, there's no way I'm going to have one of my babies and then give it up and then leave for a year and then come back and say, oh, well, I want my baby back. It doesn't work like that. If it's something that you have worked and strived and fought for and scratched and clawed for your entire life, and it's something that you've been able to attain, you don't set it to the side and say, here, somebody else can play with this for a little bit. I'll be back for it later. It doesn't work like that.
Right. Let's get the phone numbers out real quick. 347-326-9073. That is the hotline here on the Greg Squirrel Show, coming to you live from the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame right here in Phoenix. We're going to do our best to be here every day for the, you know, we only got one more day left. We got tomorrow. So the Friday edition.
Yeah,
so,
big Friday.
You know, we're a big Friday show. So, but you know, it's been a blast here. But yeah, once again, talking about show fight, and of course we got these other great events coming up. We got Uncivil War MMA coming up here at Springfield, Missouri, on the 27th. We got that event coming up, and then we go back to Muskogee, Oklahoma, for some great Muay Thai and kickboxing action with Striking MMA. Muay Thai. So we got those events coming up, and then you know we had Armel Nunnally with 5 Foot Combat with the two big events coming up in September, and then you know like I just mentioned, we just booked that big event coming up in October for Striking Muay Thai coming to Kansas City, Missouri. And as you know, as soon as they pass me on some more information on that event, I'm going to pass that on to all of our fantastic listeners. You got to admit, our listeners have been loyal, and you know, they keep tuning in, and we appreciate that. I appreciate that. Clint appreciates that.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what we're here for. We are here for the people.
And let's not forget about Striking in Muskogee. November 1st through the 3rd, we've got a big Muay Thai tournament coming up. That came out on the Arkansas Local MMA Online. They've got a Facebook page that I follow, and that came out yesterday. I was talking to Son, who we've seen fight with XFI, and I shared the link for it just a minute ago, and I said, let's make this happen, and Son said, man, it's on. So, man, this is something to gear up for. I don't think people understand how big this is. This is a Muay Thai tournament. This is you know, right down the road in Muskogee. You jump on I-40, you go north on the Muskogee Turnpike just a few miles, and it's right up the street. It takes me about 45 minutes to get there. This is something that people want to check out. So I don't know if we can work out something where we can all carpool, or we can rent a stinking bus, or I don't know, but we need to get as many people up there as we can. Ty is an outstanding promoter. He's a great guy, and I got a lot of respect for him. He puts on a wonderful show. He's nice to everybody, the fighters, the cornermen, the fans, the teams, the coaches, everybody.
Yeah, well, you know, Ty is a great fighter in his own right. I mean, I was sitting here talking to a Master Don Wilhelm just last night, and we were talking about Ty, and we were talking about Ty Parnell and his fighting background, how good of a show. And matter of fact, sitting down here next to me, hold on, let me turn the speaker. We got my good friend, Master Don Wilhelm, Mid-America Martial Arts, up in Branson, Missouri. He is going to be giving some clinics here, either tomorrow, is it, Don?
Yeah, I'm teaching on Saturday, but we'll be working with the DT courses. But my main teaching day will be Saturday, doing Aki Jiu-Jitsu. I'll be assisting Professor Marty Kale with defensive tactics, a lot of ground fighting. So, I mean, so far it's a really good camp. It's really good to be here.
Barney Kell, you know, his staff at the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, they always put on a real good camp. You know, 2 years ago we were in Dallas. Last year we were in St. Louis. This year we're here in Phoenix, Arizona. And it looks like all probability we're going to be going back to St. Louis next year, which is kind of cool because it's more centralized. That way we can kind of get more people there. But the turnout here so far is great. Master Wilhelm, for the people who don't know a whole lot about you, why don't you give us a little bit of your background and everything, and kind of introduce the world to Don Wilhelm.
Well, the best thing I can say is that I'm just an old guy with a few tricks. I'm the Forrest Gump of martial arts. I've been in the right place at the right time, trained with the right people. I've been very, very blessed. I'm a 7th degree in Kata Kempo. I'm a black belt in Aki Jiu-Jitsu, 5th degree in Chinese Kempo, American Open Style, purple belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've been doing it all my life. July 6th marked my 38th year in martial arts, and I've been very blessed to be a part of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame now since 2004. Came on as vice president in 2005, and just they haven't kicked me out yet and made me go away, so I just stick around to see all the people training and working together. In fact, here's my instructor, Grandmaster Bob Sulls. He comes to the event and teaches. There's nothing like having your teacher teach at your event. That's one of the, it's huge. Brandon, look out here. Right now, we have Chuck Merriman sitting out here doing a clinic. Now, Chuck Merriman has been on every major cover magazine in martial arts since day one. I personally have 4 or 5 magazines on the front cover. You have guys like Grandmaster Souls right there. You look up here, you have Grandmaster Tony Bowles, you know, Kaji Kimbo and the Toshi Koshiro Temple, Grandmaster Dan Frazier, Jerry Cook. I said, I appreciate you guys talking about who Don Rua is. It's kind of tough to say who I am when I'm looking around at all these guys. They have 10 times the experience I do.
Well, we got Clint Davis, so he's my co-host. We got him on the line here. Clint, do you got any questions for Don Wilhelm?
Man, you know, I know that figuratively you referred to yourself as the Forrest Gump, but man, I would never put you in that class. I personally, man, I don't have much. I've got a ton of respect. I honestly don't know whether to bow or stand at attention, to be honest with you. I'm a student of this, and I just. It's just an honor to have you on and to be able to listen to you talk. So I'm going to let you and Squirrel go at this.
No, well, the honor's mine, sir. I mean that wholeheartedly. Remember, all a black belt is, the white belt didn't quit. And there are no masters, just students on different levels.
Wow.
One thing I like about Don is not only is he a great instructor, but he also, you know, he also trains fighters for MMA competition. Matter of fact, one of his top fighters, now retired, Jeff Escobar, who's here in the house. And I mean, I have seen Jeff Escobar knock some people on their butts and have fun doing it.
What we try to do is we have proven time and time again that traditional martial arts can and will win. Now, you can't have an MMA school just because you wrestled for 2 years in high school and took a kickboxing course at Bowie Boot Camp. And I see a lot of that happen to these schools that open up. They got a couple kickboxing courses from Bowie Boot Camp. Next thing you know, they're a licensed MMA instructor. And it just kind of bothers me. We keep it traditional. We keep it very respectful. All of my guys are yes, sir, and no, sir type people. We're not a bunch of thugs. They know how to wear a hat straight and they keep their pants pulled up. Well, that's kind of how we run things.
Well, all right. Well, Don, hey, I know you got to get back and do some teaching over here. I appreciate you coming by, talking to us on the Greg Squirrel Show.
My pleasure, sir.
Hey,
great day.
Appreciate it. There you go, man. Good friend of mine, Don Wilhelm. I mean, this guy is class. I mean, I am very honored not only to be able to count Don Wilhelm as a friend, but, you know, he was on the board. He is on the board that approved my nomination and to be brought into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. So that shows you right there the kind of people that I'm around. Like I say, in Grandmaster Bastia, Richard Bastia, who was one of Bruce Lee's original students, he hasn't even made his appearance yet. And, I mean, there are already people here lining up out the doors waiting to see Grandmaster Richard Bastia right here at the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame.
Mm. Wow, that's something else. I mean, you know, saying that a black belt is just a white belt that never quit. I got chills when he said that. If you see him again, let him know that just happened. So that was something that, you know, and it's all about the discipline. It's all about how much discipline you've got inside of you and if you can find that discipline. So, yeah, man, for somebody that accomplished to say something like that and to be so humble, man, that is crazy good. That's outstanding. So I appreciate you bringing him on. That was good stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, me and Don, we sat around till almost midnight last night. We went out, we ate dinner, we went to Joe's Crab Shack, got some crabs, and then...
Wow.
He went back to the hotel.
Man, last time I went and got crabs, I got in a lot of trouble. It was just because the waitress at Hooters got mad at me for going to Joe's instead of Hooters.
Oh, well, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
But, no, like I said, we went out to eat last night at Joe's Crab Shack. Then we came back to the hotel, and there we had just like a Knights of the Round Table almost epic moment. Because there was me, there was Master Marty Kale, Master Don Wilhelm, several other of the instructors that are going to be giving classes here. Rand Nakash was at this little circle, as we were calling it, and we were just sitting there telling life stories, telling our experiences of what we've come across since we've been involved. Matter of fact, we're standing right here in front of me, if I can signal him over, come talk to us on the hotline.
Uh-oh.
We got Master Marty Kell. Marty Kell sitting right down here next to me. We want to welcome Marty Kell to the Greg Squirrel Show. We got Clint Davis on the line with us today. So tell me, Marty, how do you think about it going so far this week?
Well, you know, the weather is hot. We are in Phoenix, Arizona. And, Thursday is always our first day, so the crowd is a little smaller. As the day goes, it continues to pick up. By Friday, Saturday, we should have a hopping crowd, so we're excited.
Clint, you got any questions for Marty?
Man, again, I'm just a student here. I just have a ton of respect, and I'm going to let you, you know, you guys are in a whole different world than I am. I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band, and you guys are out there with the Hall of Fame, and man, I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless, and that doesn't happen very often.
Well, right now on the floor, we've got, he doesn't like to be called Grandmaster, but he's Sensei Chuck Merriman. And Chuck Merriman has been on the front cover of Black Belt magazine numerous of times, official karate magazine, which has been out of business for many, many years, just starting back up, Karate Illustrated magazine that is out of business many, many years. This man is a legend, and he's in his 80s, and he's out here teaching Shorei Goju, which is just phenomenal to have somebody in their 80s that started the martial arts in the 1950s, and they're here teaching kids that are, there's a few kids out here that are 12 years old, 8 years old, and they're getting to train with a grand master that has been on the front cover of martial art magazines all over the world.
Well, and not only do we have that, but inside the smaller room, we got Radnik Hash and his crew over from Israel doing the defensive tactics course, Krav Maga. Why don't you give a little people a brief history on the Krav Maga and just how it has advanced over the years?
Well, of course, Krav Maga is the official hand-to-hand combat system of the Israeli military. And, of course, we love our army and military dearly here in the U.S., but Israel, of course, known as one of the toughest militaries in the world because it is a small country. And on this military, of course, their official hand-to-hand combat system is Krav Maga. And it is taught to our berets and SEAL teams and so on. And we have got the chief commander, the former chief commander, and the head instructor for Krav Maga, is their hand-to-hand combat system again for all branches of the military. They are in teaching Krav Maga to our military and police people here in Phoenix, California. We've got them from Alabama. We've got them from Cincinnati, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas, in here taking Krav Maga from the experts from Israel.
Oh, I know. And, you know, Clint, like I mentioned on the show yesterday, I was in there for the entire session yesterday, and believe it or not, my legs are sore today. And so, I've kind of been bouncing around watching the Krav Maga classes. O.J. Guerra, he gave his class this morning on knife tactics and everything. And so, I mean, there's a little bit of everything for everybody. Like we mentioned, we got Nate Quarry. He's going to be here. He's going to be giving an MMA class, I believe, tomorrow afternoon. And so, if you're within the sound of my voice, if you're within driving distance of Phoenix, Arizona, I highly recommend you get down here and check out the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, because it is truly some good stuff. Marty, I know you got stuff you got to
right.
get to.
Thank you so much. And like Greg said, if anybody's in the area, please come by as our guest.
All right. Thank you, Marty Kell, president of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame in the house. Like I
wow.
said, man, there is a little bit of everything for everybody here. We got we got people here that are going to be demonstrating on fighting with sticks. Just plain sticks that you pick can find in any Northwest Arkansas Ozark Mountain forest. You know, we got guys that are going to be giving your demonstration with that. Sword tactics, knife tactics. One of the neat things about the Krav Maga system is they kind of go through all that stuff, and we did that yesterday. They got some of the replica M16s down here today, and we're going to be learning how to disarm and M16s and stuff like that. I mean, this place is crazy. And then, of course, naturally, this all is going to lead up to Saturday when we have the big banquet. I mean, this banquet hall is huge that we're in right now. They got it partitioned off for the separate classes, but then come Saturday, they're going to open this whole place up, and we're going to be having the black tie banquet dinner and inductions into the Hall of Fame. And then after that, I got to put on my other hat because we're going to be having a big dance where everybody can just make new friends, just get together, spend time together, and fellowship and friendship. And, I mean, the memories that you make here are priceless. I mean, because, you know, you're like Marty said, like Don Wilhelm said, you're sitting here, you're sharing the room with some of the leaders in martial arts all right here at one place. Like I said, you got 80-year-old guys out here working with kids. Don't you know those kids are going to be proud when they are 40, 50, getting up in advanced age, and they can look back and say, well, hey, you know, I learned from one of the masters. You know, so you know that's got to mean a lot to some of these kids, being able to participate in these classes like this.
Yeah, without a doubt. This was, I've talked about 1,000 times, I was big into baseball growing up. This would have been like, if I could have gone to a baseball camp with guys like Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio and Ty Cobb that we talked about earlier. I mean, this would have been like if I could have gone to a baseball camp with these guys involved. I mean, this is huge, man. These guys are legends. They're some of the I would dare to say founding fathers of some of this stuff. I mean, they're the ground floor of this, and they're passing their craft on to these kids. And what a deal, man! What an honor. Big deal.
Yeah, I've been involved with the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame for the last couple of years. And when I first started associated with Marty Kell and the United States Martial Arts, I asked him, what's it like, Marty? And Marty's a guitar player. Marty loves to play guitar just like I do. And he put it in the best term I had ever heard, because he put it in a term I could relate with. Because he was talking about some of the people that were going to be giving, you know, seminars and stuff. And he says, Greg, imagine getting to spend a week with Eric Clapton.
Wow.
And it immediately hit me. I'm like, oh, well, yeah. It's like, yeah, getting to spend a week with Eric Clapton. Yeah, there we go. That's when it totally related to me, being a musician, you know, playing my little guitar once in a while. You know, so when he put it like that, it just immediately clicked that this was a group that I wanted to be associated with. And now here I am, third year being associated with these guys, and I'm being inducted into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. So, as the old Greg Squirrel show logo is, it's fat crap crazy.
That's right.
Hey, I was just looking at something.
What you got?
They are already talking about, as everybody's been talking about, the big rematch with Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman at UFC 168. And
mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, Anderson Silva has opened up as the odd-on favorites to regain his title.
Well, you know why, man? It's because of what I've been talking about. This thing was a ploy. It was something, you know, I think the UFC was getting a little bit stale. I mean, look what happened with Sonnen, talking a big game, not coming through, not taking the title away. People were getting tired of stuff like this. People are holding championships for 4, 5, 6 years at a time. That stuff gets old, man. You don't want to see that all the time. I think this was one of the biggest money-making opportunities in UFC history. For the odds-on favorite, as they call him, to completely bomb out and get an accidental knockout. I've never seen Silva get in the ring and dance around and act crazy like he was doing. He's never done that. That's not professional. That's not him. And to me, man, I think this was the biggest fix in UFC history. I think it was a chance to give a little jump start back to the sport, back to the business, and, a chance for somebody to make a little money here. I mean, I know I did. I mean, I put a little bit of money without incriminating myself on the underdog. came out. I made out like a bandit on this, man. I mean, this dude was a 460-point underdog. I mean, what do you think? I mean, you see a 460-point underdog and think, yeah, I could put a little bit of change on this and make some serious jingle when it's over and done with. So,
exactly. It's all about the jingle.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. And I'm glad I was in the right place at the right time as well. And so, look how it turned out. You know, now everybody's talking rematch. Everybody's talking about Silva. Everybody's talking about, Weidman. And is this a fluke? And what's going to happen? And is Silva's going to come out and knock him out in the first round? And all this other stuff. I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. I don't know if Weidman is really that good. But I guarantee you, there was something real fishy. And it may come out in the future. It may come out months, years from now. Who knows? But one of these days, somebody is going to read a report in the news, and it's going to be about this being a fix, and they're going to say, that damn Clint Davis, he was right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Now, this is going to hit pretty close to you. I was just scanning some stuff that I've had come in while we've been on the air. This year, the top 10 list of most miserable cities in America has just came out.
Is Fort Smith on there?
Fort Smith is on, once again, on the list.
What?
They come in at number 6. So they've actually gained a spot.
Of the worst cities in America?
Of most miserable cities in America. Maybe not the worst cities, but
most miserable?
Yeah,
I don't get it. It's wonderful around here. People who make this list are not from here.
they must not be. I mean, I lived in Fort Smith. I make no bones about it that I lived 15 years in Fort Smith. And, you know, it wasn't Vegas or anything, but it was a neat little city to live in. And so, wow. So once again, Fort Smith makes the top 10. For the second year in a row, because they were I believe they were like either sixth or seventh last year. But once again, business, and
I'm looking at it right on Business Insider. They have grouped Oklahoma in with it. They put number 6, Fort Smith, Arkansas, -Oklahoma. I'm like, this. We've got nothing. It says the metro area ranked 187th in the categories of life evaluation, physical health, and healthy behavior. It fared best in work environment, ranking number 12, an 88-spot jump from 2011. Results are based on phone interviews with a random sample of 353,563 adults in the U.S. metro areas. They're based on the metropolitan statistical areas defined by the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. The source is Gallup Wellbeing Index. I don't know who in the hell has come out with something like this. Now, I would like to note that we are ranked number 12 in the best work environments. We jumped 88 spots from 2011, so that's a good thing. Yeah, overall score for life in Fort Smith is 62.9% out of 100. And this would make Mayor Ray Baker turn in his grave. His slogan was life is worth living in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And, man, I just don't see this being somewhat true. I think they might have interviewed a bunch of people who are just stale and stagnant and unhappy with their lives. And so they're like, yeah, it sucks around here. And now we end up on the Business Insider list of the 10 most miserable cities in America. This is horrible.
Wow.
Protest.
I don't know what to say, Big Dog. I'm trying to find, I'm looking around this big cavern that we're in. I mean, it's actually it's a very pretty facility. I'm trying to find O.J. Guerra to try to see if we can get a few words with him, and I cannot find O.J. So we're going to work on O.J. Guerra tomorrow. I mean, like I say, O.J. Guerra is another one of these true leaders in the martial arts community, and like I mentioned earlier, he gave a fantastic knife defense course, and we're going to be working on getting him on the air. We're still working on Ryan Nikash, maybe trying to get a few words for all of our Israeli friends on the air, get Ryan Nikash on the air. And I'm trying to keep the show going, but yet I'm still thinking about this top
top 25 ranking, well, top 10
ranking.
I'm
disappointed. You know what I'm disappointed in more so than Fort Smith? Mobile, Alabama being number 3. Now, not a lot of people know this, but at one point in my Navy career, I was stationed down in Pensacola, Florida. Mobile, Alabama is last stop before Pensacola, Florida. I mean, it's right before you get out of Alabama, first thing you hit when you get down into Florida, really, you know, as far as cities go. I'm really disappointed to see Mobile, Alabama on here. It's about as disappointing as seeing Fort Smith, and they're basing this on smoking, exercise frequency, diet, and consumption of fruits and vegetables. Now, how in the hell do they know how much fruits and vegetables everybody's consuming down in Mobile, Alabama? I mean, not everybody was polled for this.
Don't ask me, man.
This is ridiculous. This is Facebook material. This is going on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook it.
I'm about to. It's going to make some people mad.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, I think I would be severely pissed if it was me.
Yeah, I don't understand how people who don't know this entire area. I mean, I'm not an Arkansan. I'm not from Arkansas. I don't really care about anything Arkansas related, except that it's right across the border. But you know, I don't think Fort Smith deserves to be number 6.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Wow. Most miserable cities in America.
Wow, that's it's crazy.
Man, so what do you think about, can we go back in time a little bit here? What happened with that caller when I was talking about Sean Bales? Where did that come from?
I have no clue. But, you know, we've always, you know, we briefly went over the British Open and everything, and I don't know, the number showed up on the board, so I answered it, and there you go.
Man, oh, I didn't know you answered it. I thought it just popped on. Apparently, this gentleman wasn't listening to the show. I mean, I appreciate the phone call, but apparently wasn't listening, because here we are. We're introing Sean Bales with Wolfpack MMA out of Grove, Oklahoma. And, again, man, what a great guy. Well, you know, I'm really pulling for this guy. You know, he's at a 5-inch height disadvantage, you know, coming into this fight. And, you know, it's going to be for the Show Fight Super Heavyweight Championship. And, I mean, this is just going to be huge. Yeah, so we were talking about Tiger Woods there. And then I've looked at a report. ESPN Dallas-Fort Worth is reporting that defensive tackle Josh Brent, who's facing an intoxication manslaughter charge, has retired on Thursday. Brent was involved in a car wreck in December in which practice squad linebacker Jerry Brown was killed. Josh Brent's blood alcohol level was 0.18, more than twice the legal limit in Texas. Here's what he said. He said, "I'm at a point where my main focus is all about getting the priorities in my life in order. Those priorities are more important than football. Doing the right thing in life is more important than football." So that is a quote from Josh Brent, who retired from professional football today. Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle facing that intoxication manslaughter charge.
Yeah, but, you know, that situation, I think he saw the handwriting on the wall, so he thought it was best to get out of town, and that way he could focus on his legal issues and not be any more disruption to the football team.
Absolutely, and sometimes you have to do that. You know, you really got to know when to cut your losses. You got to know when to help out the people around you. You know, the Dallas Cowboys are having a tough enough time with somebody named Romo on their team without having to have somebody named Josh Brent on the team. And I've actually got some more news from someone we talked about earlier, Sandusky, a son of former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky, is seeking to have his name changed more than a year after his adoptive father was convicted of child sexual abuse. Matt Sandusky filed papers Tuesday in Center County Court seeking to have the names of him and his family changed. Though the documents are sealed, they show he filed for a name change along with his wife and 4 children. Matt Sandusky has been expected to be a defense witness had been expected to be a defense witness until the trial, when he told investigators that he also had been abused by Jerry Sandusky. So Sandusky convicted on 45 counts. He's serving 30 to 60-year prison sentence and maintains he was wrongfully convicted. He is pursuing appeals. So Matt Sandusky seeking to change his name. I would, too, if my name were like Clint Hitler or something like that. I would definitely change my last name. I don't care what I would be like, oh, it's not Hitler, it's Heitler. You know, I mean, there's no way to get around that name. There's no other pronunciation for something like that. And as far as I'm concerned, Hitler and Sandusky are in the same category.
We got about 12 minutes on the show.
Still
got the phone lines open, 347-326-9073. So, you know, if anybody got any questions or comments, you know, you still got time to call in. The chat room's up and running. You can also leave messages on my Facebook page, Gregory Squirrel. You can find me there. So what do you got planned for the weekend, buddy?
Man, tomorrow, you know, I've got XFI Live at noon. I'm going to do my show about Extreme Fighting, Inc., based out of the River Valley, the premier mixed martial arts promoter in this area. We've got some big things popping this weekend. I've got some meetings that I've got to attend. One is directly related to the XFI, and another is with a business organization in this area talking about well, when I say this area, I'm talking about the number six most miserable city to live in. So I've got some issues to tend to, some meetings to attend with some organizations to talk about sponsorships and things for our next event. So, you know, we've got Extreme Night of Champions October 26th down at the Fort Smith Convention Center coming up. And it's going to be a big one. You know, we're going to talk about that more on XFI Live and – you know, so it's we got a lot of stuff happening.
Hey, get some sponsors for the show. We need some sponsors. We want to, so we can really do some stuff with this thing.
You're talking about the Greg Squirrel Show?
Well, or XFI Live. We'll take.
Well, no, I've got some sponsors. In fact, one of my sponsors, Palmer Brothers Motorsports, they went out to H. Palmer drives the X15 car out at Tri-State Speedway, and last weekend. They won the race, and so they have notched another win for the season. I think it's the second win in the Fort Smith area for the season, and the third win altogether this season. And the driver of the X15 car, H. Palmer, his birthday is tomorrow, so I'm going to give him a big shout out on the show. And and I've got photography by Alyssa Ray in this area, and Leah's Four Paws Pet Salon. I've also got Poto Pound Pups. You know, the one of our teams, the Pit, is down in Poto, based out of Poto. And so I've got a sponsor down in Poto, and I've also had a special guest sponsor for a period of time until August the 13th, the Foxfire Club, and that's because the Chippendales are coming. So I've been talking to the ladies the last few weeks and letting the ladies know that the Chippendales are coming out there. I would normally not talk about something like that, but I was compensated heavily to do that sort of thing. So I've been advertising the Chippendales on XFI Live there. But what we're going to do, I'm going to start working out a way that we can do a ticket giveaway for the next event. So I'm going to try to get – now, I haven't even broken this news on XFI Live, so that you hear it here first on the Greg Squirrel Show. So I'm going to talk about a way that we can get a ticket giveaway going, get the fans engaged, get everybody involved. I mean, I know it's the middle of July, but before we know it, man, it's going to be the middle of October, and we're going to have an event 2 weeks away. So, and the good thing about our event on October 26th, Extreme Night of Champions, is a couple of days later, that's when we've got the big Muay Thai tournament in Muskogee.
There you go.
So, you know, we always have these events, and then we kind of dry up around here. There's nothing else to do, and so we're scrounging around for other events, and it's not like football where Saturday's over with, you got football again on Sunday, then you got Monday night football, and then you turn around, you got Thursday night football, and then bam, it's Saturday again and college is playing. It's not like that. It's we have an event, and then it dries up a little bit. We've got too much time in between, but now after we get done with this event, Extreme Night of Champions on the 26th of October, and then we've got November 1st through the 3rd, we've got Ty is throwing this is going to be huge, this Muay Thai tournament. Out in Muskogee,
oh, yeah.
So it's going to be big stuff,
and
man.
We are working on getting Ty on the show to talk about the upcoming XFI events or XFI the Striking events. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of get some more information about the big tournament coming up. their next big event they got coming up, which is scheduled for, let me pull up my schedule right here, August 17th is the next date for Striking Muay Thai and Kickboxing, right back there at the Muskogee Civic Center. Matter of fact, they got events coming up on August 17th. They got the big Kansas City event booked for October 5th. And then they're going to have a season's beatings December 14th.
Yes!
So,
season's beatings. It doesn't get better than this, man. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, not just for
Christmas
Santa Claus.
Christmas is the wonderful time of the year. Come to
and hot chocolate.
And get a black tie.
Yeah, not just for hot chocolate and marshmallows and things like that, man. Now we've got Muay Thai. We've got some kickboxing going.
Muay Thai for Christmas. There you go, boys.
Muay Thai for Christmas. I think that's what we should name it. Hey, speaking of Thai, have you been approached about August? Are you the ring announcer on August 17th?
Yes.
What about November 1st through the 3rd? Has anybody approached you about that yet?
Nobody's approached me about that yet. So,
well, who do I need to call? Who do I need to send a letter to?
Ty.
To make
get
a request.
A hold of Ty.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna do everything I can to get a hold of Ty. He's a great guy. I know he'll listen to requests like that. But Clint Davis is officially on a mission to get Greg Squirrel to be the host, the ring announcer of the Muay Thai tournament. Yeah, and this is my mission. Should I choose to accept it, and I have. I've accepted this mission, and that's the way it's going to go down.
Oh, sorry.
That's good stuff. Hey, I got to give a shout out again to Kim and Katie. Hopefully they hear their names this time. I don't know what they were playing tiddlywinks last time. I don't know what they were doing, but they missed it. They missed the shout out. So Kim and Katie, here's your shout out. I did say both of your names. We can get this show transcripted if you'd like. And there's obviously
there
an know. Issue here. So anyway, yeah, man, this is good stuff. Sean Bales just posted something on my Facebook page, and I'm going to go read it. It was a thank you, I believe. So I'm going to try to pull this up.
I got a birthday shout out real quick. Rob Calloway, he's a professional boxer based out of Kansas City, Missouri. 44 years old today. So big happy birthday to Rob Calloway.
Wow, Rob Calloway. Yeah. Hey. So here it is. Sean Bales said, "Thanks for having me on the show. Had a great time." So you know, I know that this probably left a better taste in his mouth than the less than desirable show that we won't mention. Last night did, and so, you know, once again, it was an honor. I appreciate having Sean on the show, and Sean was quick to respond, and like I said, he's a great guy, real humble and very, very nice, very respectful, really easy to talk to. This was great, so.
Kind of let you in a little bit on the schedule. We're going to be right back here tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Greg Squirrel Show, coming to you live from the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame in Phoenix, Arizona. We're working on O.J. Guerra, having O.J.
Oh,
on the
man,
air.
I thought you were going to say O.J. Simpson.
No, look out. No, not O.J. Simpson, O.J. Guerra. We're going to have O.J. Guerra on the show tomorrow. We're definitely talking to Rand Nakash. Matter of fact, Rand Nakash is kind of looking at me, got this look in his eye like, you infidel. He's kind of looking at me right now. He just smiled and walked off. So, yeah,
wow.
So O.J. Guerra, we got Rand Nakash, and cast of many, many others. You never know. We got so many great legends walking around here. You never know who I'm going to grab a paw
hey,
and get a hold
I,
of.
I hate to jump
here.
In. I've got a little bit of sad news that I got to report. I just got a message from Randy at Photo Pound Pups. And they had to euthanize a dog today because they need foster homes. So she wants me to get the word out about foster homes. You guys, if you're listening, go to PotoPoundPups.org. Go to the website. There's an application to fill out to become a foster. Or let's see, I've got some information. Let me pull it out of my handy dandy notebook. Call Angela for details. 479-883-2240. Call Angela down at Poto Pound Pups. And like I said, Randy's the one that just sent me this message. Angela's number is the only one I have, 479-883-2240. You know, find out how you guys can help. And there are people in Northwest Arkansas who foster these pets. I've seen it a million times on Facebook. And so, you know, I hate that when we have to see a pet being euthanized. And so we need help. Poto Pound Pups needs help.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I definitely encourage people, you know, if you're looking for a quality, you know, a good pet and everything, don't go to a breeder or a pet store or someplace that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Go check out even if Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley down at Fort Smith, Oklahoma, wherever you're at, go check out your local animal shelters because there's some loving pets in there that I guarantee you get in there, spend some time with them. You'll want to be taking a pet home with you. So, you know,
absolutely.
Let's definitely encourage that because we don't want to see any more loving pets that deserve a good home being euthanized because they don't have room for them. So,
that's right.
There we go. That's it, my brother.
Well, man, I hate that it seems like a short show today, but dadgum, it's 5:28 in the p.m., and you know, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I don't know. I'll probably shoot you a Facebook message here later on, and we'll get some things coordinated. But once again, shout out to Kim and Katie, and special thanks to Sean Bales, especially short notice for coming on. You know, we'll talk more about the Show Fight Summer Smash tomorrow. We'll talk about that coming up on Saturday. Tickets $25 general admission and $40 for VIP cage side. So if you're in the Branson area. Or anywhere near Branson, get up to Branson and watch a little show fight this weekend.
There you go. That is Saturday night. And, you know, I want to say thank you to Master Don Wilhelm for being on the show today. I also want to say thank you to Professor Marty Kell, President of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, kind of giving us some insight on what's going to be going on the next couple of days. So we are out of here. So all I can say is everybody, drag out your hard hats because I got a funny feeling that tomorrow's show is going to be nuts.
Nice.
So until then, hey, Jeff Escobar just walked by, said hello to me right here on the Greg Skrull Show. So we'll be right back here tomorrow once again, 4:00 Arkansas time, which is 2:00 Arizona time. So hey, boys and girls, y'all be safe, have a good evening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Please
be safe, brother.
Yes,
right here on the Greg Skrull Show on Blog Talk Radio.